This is the message delivered on March 14, 2021 by Pastor Hon. The message title is, You Will Not Get What You Want. The scripture passage is from Book of Daniel, chapter 11, verses 5 through 19. Let us read the Daniel chapter 11, verses 5 through 19. The king of the south will become strong, but one of his commanders will become even stronger than he and will rule his own kingdom with great power. After some years, they will become allies. The daughter of the king of the south will go to the king of the north to make an alliance, but she will not retain her power, and he and his power will not last. In those days, she will be betrayed, together with her royal escort and her father and the one who supported her. One from her family line will arise to take her place. He will attack the forces of the king of the north and enter his fortress. He will fight against them and be victorious. He will also seize their gods, their metal images, and their valuable articles of silver and gold and carry them off to Egypt. For some years, he will leave the king of the north alone. Then the king of the north will invade the realm of the king of the south, but will retreat to his own country. His sons will prepare for war and assemble a great army, which will sweep on like an irresistible flood and carry the battle as far as his fortress. Then the king of the south will march out in a rage and fight against the king of the north, who will raise a large army, but it will be defeated. When the army is carried off, the king of the south will be filled with pride and will slaughter many thousands, yet he will not remain triumphant. For the king of the north will muster another army, larger than the first, and after several years he will advance with a huge army fully equipped. In those times, many will rise against the king of the south. Those who are violent among your own people will rebel in fulfillment of the vision, but without success. Then the king of the north will come and build up siege ramps and will capture a fortified city. The forces of the south will be powerless to resist. Even their best troops will not have the strength to stand. The invader will do as he pleases. No one will be able to stand against him. He will establish himself in the beautiful land and will have the power to destroy it. He will determine to come with the might of his entire kingdom and will make an alliance with the king of the south. And he will give him a daughter in marriage in order to overthrow the kingdom. But his plans will not succeed or help him. Then he will turn his attention to the coastlands and will take many of them, but a commander will put an end to his insolence and will turn his insolence back on him. After this, he will turn back towards the fortress of his own country, but will stumble and fall to be seen no more. We will continue our study from the last week. Angel Gabriel, who appeared to Daniel, spoke to Daniel what was going to happen after Daniel's death, who lived in 6th century BC. It was about what was going to happen in the future for Daniel. For 400 years in the Middle East, Europe, Africa, and Asia, the world situations and how the power would shift. What we read in verses 2 through 4 describes the power shift from Persian Empire who conquered the Middle East world to a Eurasian empire, Greece, who covered not only the Middle East, but also Europe, Africa, and Asia, and the fall of Greece in the end. In today's passage from verses 5 through 19 records the empire was divided into four countries, and it also records the subsequent fierce territorial and power struggles between the two countries, Seleucid Empire of Syria and Ptolemaic dynasty of Egypt. As we read them carefully, we find an irony of the words that do not seem to fit with power, wealth, glory, or prosperity. It began with a word that seemed to fit with a power, but it ends with the word that do not find any piece of the power. Let us look at verse 5 first. Verse 5, the king of the south will become strong, but one of his commanders will become even stronger than he, and will rule his own kingdom with great power. We will come back to the content of this verse later, but for now I would like to focus on the words used here. Become strong, become even stronger, will rule with great power. The verse begins with the words with which we feel the power and influence. But in verse 12, something strange happened. Verse 12, when the army is carried off, the king of the south will be filled with the pride and will slaughter many thousands, yet he will not remain triumphant. Here, the king of the south will defeat many, but he will not remain triumphant. Very strange. The slaughter shows the power, but it was not followed by the victory. What happened with the power we read in verse 5? The power looks suspicious now. And if we read verse 19, the situation becomes totally opposite of what was expected. Verse 19. After this, he will turn back towards the fortress of his own country, but will stumble and fall, to be seen no more. The king stumbles and falls to be seen no more. His beginning was becoming stronger and stronger to have a great power. Although he defeated many, he never triumphed, and in the end he stumbled and fell to be seen no more. This saying in Japanese, which can be literally translated as a head of a dragon and the tail of a serpent, meaning that it started with a bang, but petered out dismally in the end. Power, wealth, glory, and prosperity described in chapter 11 ended up worse than that. There was even no tail left. It was no longer seen. Nothing remained. Nothing. In the passage which we studied last Sunday, Angel Gabriel taught the truth that a man is a sinner who cannot live without hurting others. The passage we study this morning teaches us that the truth teaches us the truth that every power in this world will come to nothing in the end. Any power, wealth, glory, prosperity will turn to nothing, or it can be said that they are nothing from the beginning. Verse 17 makes it even worse. Verse 17, he will determine to come with the might of his entire kingdom and will make an alliance with the king of the south, and he will give him a daughter in marriage in order to overthrow the kingdom, but his plans will not succeed or help him. The king, who possessed vast amounts of power, wanted to get what he desired, and he put together all his power to get it, but it did not go the way he wanted it to. Any of us would like to live our lives in a way we want. For that reason, we try to gain a power that enables us to do. We wish to gain more power of intelligence, physical power, intellectual power, financial power, controlling power, the power to foresight, many experiences, name it. Whatever and however great the power we might gain, things do not go the way we want them to. This is the important fact that Daniel chapter 11 teaches us. And this is a limitation set by God. Whatever the power we might gain, things would not go the way we want them to. Those of the greatest power in the world history put together all their powers, but things did not go the way they want them to. It is because any power in this world is ultimately nothing. It comes to nothing, or it is equivalent to nothing. Nothing for what? Nothing for everything. It is nothing for what is important for God and man. What is important for God and man? It is love. Love is all. I said last week that what was missing in Alexander the Great was love. Without love, Alexander the Great, who seemed to have gained all the power, substantially had nothing. In another word, if one has love, he has everything. This applies to not only Alexander the Great, but also all those who had powers after him, and even to us, all human beings who lived the time in the history, believing that there is something in the power. Without love, the power is nothing. Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 through chapter 14, verse 1. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love, and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Love is what God considers the most important and what is most important for man. If there is no love, anything or any power is nothing. What is important is not gaining powers in order to live our lives in the way we want them to be like. Whether we win or lose is determined by whether or not we can live with love as our goal and our motivation, even when our lives do not seem to go in the way we want them to. Winning here does not mean to win a game, to pass an examination, to become famous, to win a war, or to produce a hit product. It is about whether or not we want to live in God's love. In the history, many or all the human beings tried to gain some powers so as to live their lives in the way they want them to be. However, no power has ever made possible the life to be as one wishes to be. In our modern time, although in our eyes there might be some that appear to be living their lives as they wish to be, they also live their lives not in the way they want them to be. People in our society have an illusion that there should be somewhere a life that meets our expectation. And to us who live in such a society today, Angel Gabriel says, even if one becomes stronger and stronger to win the power to control, there is no victory, no life in the way one wishes, and eventually he will stumble and fall to be seen no more. In another word, he tells us that this world is running with an illusion that chases after with all the power what is nothing. He tells us that making efforts without love is nothing. Let me explain now specific historical facts prophesied in Daniel chapter 11, verses 5 through 19. You will see no love there, but a power. There is only the power that tries to make things work in the way one wants to. Let us read again verse 5. The king of the south will become strong, but one of his commanders will become even stronger than he and will rule his own kingdom with great power. I hope you can bear with me for a while, my explanation of the history. Just as I explained last week, in Daniel 11, Seleucid Empire of Syria is recorded as the king of the north, while Ptolemaic dynasty, Egypt of Egypt, as the king of the south. This is because Syria is located in the north of Israel, while Egypt is in the south. Verse 5 records the Seleucus, the founder of the Seleucid Empire, was not so powerful at first, and he was under Ptolemy, the founder of Ptolemaic dynasty of Egypt. But as Seleucid gradually gained the power by winning the battles with other countries, he became independent of Ptolemaic to build Seleucid Empire, which surpassed Ptolemaic dynasty. Verse 6 talks about the political marriage arranged between the following generations: Antiochus II, the grandson of Seleucus, and Ptolemy II, the son of Ptolemy. Verse 6. After some years, they will become allies. The daughter of the king of the south will go to the king of the north to make an alliance, but she will not retain her power, and he and his power will not last. In those days she will be betrayed, together with her royal escort and her father and the one who supported her. Syria and Egypt were in bad terms after they were divided from old Greek Empire. Then Ptolemy II tried to make his daughter Berenice to be married to Antiochus II. But Antiochus II already had a wife, Laodike. Laodike was expelled, and Berenice became the wife of Antiochus II. But after some time, Antiochus changed his mind and invited Laodike back to the palace. Laodike, who did not want to be kicked out again, poisoned Antiochus II to death and murdered Berenice and her children. Finally, Laodike crowned his son Callinicus, Seleucus II, in 246 BC. So the political marriage was arranged to sustain the power, to reinforce the power, and to make things work in the way they wanted to, but it ended up as a complete failure, and there was nothing good left. What was left behind was the worst relationship between Syria and Egypt. Ptolemy III, Euergetes, the younger brother of Berenice, completely defeated the Seleucus II of Syria with his army to avenge his sister's death. He brought back to Egypt huge trophies of war. Those were 2,500 statues of gods, 36 tons of gold, which is equivalent to almost 900 billion yen in today's value. Then Seleucus II, who was not pleased with his defeat, led his army to revenge Ptolemy III in 242 BC, but he was defeated by Ptolemy III and returned to Syria. And this was not the end of the story. The sons of Seleucus II, Seleucus III, and Antiochus III joined their forces together to attack back Egypt and won for a time. The next generation of Egyptian king, Ptolemy IV, built the power and rebelled against Syria to defeat Antiochus III to retrieve the land. This is the story of verses 7 through 11. Let us read them. Verse 7. One from her family line will arise to take her place. He will attack the forces of the king of the north and enter his fortress. He will fight against them and be victorious. He will also seize their gods, the metal images, and their valuable articles of silver and gold, and carry them off to Egypt. For some years he will leave the king of the north alone. Then the king of the north will invade the realm of the king of the south, but will retreat to his own country. His sons will prepare for war and assemble a great army, which will sweep on like an irresistible flood and carry the battle as far as his fortress. Then the king of the south will march out in a rage and fight against the king of the north, who will raise a large army, but it will be defeated. Sorry for a complicated story in the history. The two countries fought one another over several generations. Both sides were hurt and exhausted with no winner. The same situation continued from verses 12 through 19. And finally, both stumbled, fell, and disappeared. They became nothing because there was no love, but only the power. If we hear about the power, we might think, oh, I do not have such a power. But please replace the word power with aggression. We understand it. We understand it applies to us too. The issue of the power in us is in our aggression. The power surfaces when it attacks. The power is equal to aggression. Every human being has aggression. This aggression works sometimes very shrewdly, sometimes radically, sometimes calmly, sometimes subtly. In Daniel 11, we see the power is surfaced with various aggression. One of the fundamental issues of our sin is in the aggression. When Adam sinned, the first thing he did was to attack his wife Eve. Jesus, the second Adam, never attacks. What he did was to love. He was attacked by all kinds of powers. He was sued unfairly, sentenced to death unfairly, crucified unfairly by the authorities, teachers of the law, common people, Herod, and Pilate. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, he never showed off himself to tell them, "Look, I'm resurrected, I told you so." Neither he showed off the power to defeat death. What he did was to say, "Shalom, peace be with you all." And he prepared the breakfast for his disciples and dined with them. He took a walk with them and spent a time with them. Lord Jesus never becomes nothing. Neither does he make everything nothing. His method is not to use the power to attack, but to love. His method not to make things nothing or to turn everything for good is by love. And he says, "Love one another just as I have loved you. Love one another." To love one another is the perfect victory. To love one another removes fears. To love one another gives meaning. To love one another is the only way to bear imperishable fruit. And this love belongs to Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only God, and it was revealed by Lord Jesus Christ. Let us read Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Seleucus the first, second, third, Antiochus the first, the second, the third, Ptolemy the first, the second, and the third, none of them won. They all lost because they did not depend on God's love in Lord Jesus Christ. Let us read the 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 and 16 through 21. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. If one does not try to know love, if one gives up on love, if one does not live in love, if one does not target love, if one does not make love as motivation, if one does not make love as his driving force, even if he becomes strong, gaining power, and defeat others, things will not go the way he wants it to. There will be no victory, and he will stumble and fall, not to be seen. As I touched upon last week as well, when Syria in the north and Egypt in the south battled, the land of Canaan of Israel was caught up and victimized. It was under Egyptian control at one time and under Syrian control at another time. Israel was tossed about by the world political situation. Even in the midst of that, there was something that they should not have misunderstood. It is to live in love. Israel, at one point, tried to live in the power, just like the surrounding world did, although he should not have lived in the power, or turns his eyes away from love. Let us read Daniel chapter 11, verse 14. In those times, many will rise against the king of the south. Those who are violent among your own people will rebel in fulfillment of the vision, but without success. The king of the south here is Ptolemy the Fifth, who was enthroned at the age of 7. All the surrounding countries, including Syria, tried to overthrow it, and Israel was one of them. Israel decided to put himself on the ring of the power struggle of the world, and he miserably failed. Instead of living in love, Israel tried to live in power just like the rest of the world, and ended with failure. We might understand the feeling of Israelites. Israel was controlled by Syria or Egypt, one after another, and frustrations must have been built up among the Israelites. However, the way they should have chosen was not the power or aggression. It should have been to depend on God's providence and the practice of God's love. As we have been studying, Daniel was caught in captivity, but he had faith to believe his situation as God's providence leading and calling, and he lived in love with his faith. He learned from God's word that the power without love comes to nothing. And he practiced it. This is why we should live in love as well. Let us live in love, not in the power. Let us not try to win a victory by attacking, which is not a real victory. Let us win a perfect victory by loving. When we choose to love rather than gaining a power, what is promised for us is a perfect victory in Lord Jesus and glorious hope that everything will be made new, even if things do not go our way. Let us live in love rather than in power. Let us pray.